I'd like, if we can, turn our Bibles to Malachi. Now, a lot of people, when a preacher says turn to Malachi, they grab their wallet and zip it up, make sure it's stuck far down in a pocket, because, you know, there's that Malachi passage on tithing. I'm not going to preach on tithing tonight, preacher. You have to get that on another time. But the book of Malachi, I actually found something interesting in there that I want to read with you. We got into America about a month or so ago, and we were getting ready to leave. And you know, Latvia doesn't have any mountains; they've got some hills, but there's not a mountain at all. And a volcano kept us from flying out. They had that volcano and that ash from the volcano. We had our flight canceled on the night before we were going to fly out, 5 a.m. the night before. I mean, we were ready, bags packed, ready to leave the country for a year, ready. I mean, you can imagine the preparation, and they canceled it. And we didn't know for sure when we were going to be able to get back on the plane. It took a while, and finally, 1 week later, we were able to fly out. And but I remember before, as I was leaving and on the trip over, this passage of Scripture came to my mind, and I want to share it with you. The book of Malachi, this first chapter, is kind of a disappointing chapter. The nation of Israel, they really got lax in their worship of God. Their hearts grew cold, and their worship was not only just a formality, but it was actually polluted. They weren't worshiping God the way that He deserved. You know, God is our Creator. He's not only our Creator, but He's our Sustainer. And He loves us more than anything. And He deserves our best. And He deserves our worship. And He deserves to receive honor from His people. And the nation of Israel, their worship of God had grown cold. And they had disbelief. And God's going to receive His glory. And there's an interesting passage of Scripture in this first chapter. It's kind of a dark chapter, but there's a ray of hope here in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 11. If you'd like, we can stand and read this one verse together. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 11. This is my verse I want to share with you. It says, "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that You've given us together. Father, I pray that You would speak to our hearts from Your word. Father, we know that Your Spirit speaks, and Father, help us to have an open heart to You today. Father, we thank You for all the things that You've done in this place, in this church. Father, the wonderful things that we can see and wonderful things we hear about, Father, we thank You for that. Father, we thank You for the things that You're doing in Latvia. Father, we give You all the praise and the glory for it. We know it's Your work, Lord, and we just pray that You'll be pleased tonight, Father, with Your Son's name being lifted up, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, have a seat. This morning, early our morning, Latvia is 7 hours ahead of us. The church in Latvia met for the first time in their new church building. And I wish I could have been there. And I know we're gonna be able, the Lord's open to give us an opportunity to fly back for a grand opening service. We're going to have a dedication service, and my pastor's going to go with us. But, you know, when you think about how the Lord's working around the globe, this verse, it's interesting. Truly, we can see it fulfilled. And with missions, the local church right here, with sending missionaries and praying for missionaries and being involved in missionary work at home and in other parts of the world, it's part of fulfilling what's being spoken of here and what the Lord gave for us in the Great Commission that we read in Sunday school this morning. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. When we flew out of Latvia, it was 5 in the morning, and the sun was already shining. And Latvia is a very cloudy place. A lot of cloudy days in Latvia. But I learned something, and I pointed out to my wife that every day is a sunny day in Latvia, if you get up high enough. And when we flew out, the sun was shining early in the morning, and we were flying west into the sun. And as the world was turning, the sun just, you know, kept coming up. And we were, I think, in the air for something like 23 hours. 23 hours worth of sunshine that day. But by the time we had our layovers and everything, it was 23 hours. And it was interesting to that as the world turns, and especially on Sunday mornings, there are congregations of Christians, group of Christians who have heard the gospel, folks that have heard the gospel and God has spoken to their heart, convinced them the need to be saved from their sins, to receive forgiveness from God. All around the world, and even today, as the sun rose in Latvia, there were a group of believers there who came together, and their purpose for coming together was to offer up praises to God. Their purpose was to come together and to pray for each other. They had prayer request time this morning. They had a time when they prayed for each other. They had a time this morning when they gave. There was a time this morning in Latvia when they sang. And when they heard the gospel, they heard the word being preached. And I think about that, and I think about missionaries all over the world, how the gospel spread around the world, how truly it's wonderful to be a part of what God's talking about here in this passage of Scripture. Prayer and praises going up to our Father. And as a missionary in Latvia, our job is to preach this word and to get the gospel out. And when we come home, it's kind of like switching gears. Our ministry changes a little bit. I feel it's my responsibility to give a report to you about what God's been doing and what's been happening in that country. As I mentioned this morning, a lot of Christians, we in faith, we give to missions, we pray for missions, knowing that God's going to bless it. And it's wonderful to be a missionary, to be able to be on the field and to see how truly God is at work. And it's my privilege to be able to come back tonight and to give a little report. Now, on the way home, I was talking with Linda on the airplane about everything that was going on and what did I want to share, and she dropped a spiral-bound notebook in my lap. She said, "Here, write it all down." And so we had all of this time in flying, and I took a pen out, and I started thinking back over the last 5 years, and then even after over the last 10 or 12 years of all the things that the Lord's been doing. I want to tell you, it's a wonderful exercise to do that, to count your blessings, and to think back about what the Lord's been doing. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want to challenge you to do that, to think back and to write down all of the different things that God has been doing in your life. You think you could do that? Well, I tell you, not everything that I wrote down, I finished the sentence with one of them smiley face emoticons, you know. There were some things that were difficult, but I knew God was working in my life. But I knew it, so I wrote it down, and some things truly were exclamation points and praise the Lord for it. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to recount the things that the Lord's been doing in our lives. I think back when we first got to Latvia, and I know some of you have heard my testimony before, but a lot of you haven't. I remember when we first got to Latvia, it was a strange feeling. There were no other missionaries there. We didn't know the language yet. We didn't have a place to live. We didn't have a car. It was really strange. Emily was 18 months old, and Linda was pregnant for Lucas. And we thought, how is this going to happen? Now, I had finished Bible college, so, you know, I knew it all. But when I got there, I didn't know anything. And I remember praying, "Lord, help us." And you know what he did? He gave us a relative that lives in Latvia. She was willing to let us live in her house, in her apartment. So you can live here as long as you need. Wow, I don't know if I'd be willing to do that. She was. And she did. She was a school teacher. She taught us the Latvian language. You know, that's easy to say, yeah, she taught us the Latvian language. No, it was a lot of work. And it wasn't easy. But she was willing to help us that way. The Lord helped us find a place to live. Shopping for houses after the fall of communism, that was an interesting thing. It was nothing like I'd ever experienced, and no one could give you advice about it. It was a very unique thing. But God opened doors. We found a house. It needed fixed up, and it was truly a starter home, but it was $10,000. I thought, wow, this is it. And, you know, the bank wouldn't even loan you that for a former communist country. It was under Soviet control. You couldn't get financing, so I called Bank Dad. Great rate. Hey, Dad, I found a house to buy. Oh, you did, huh? Yeah, $10,000. Oh, well, I think I can loan you that much. And he loaned it to us. And Dad said, yeah, I bought my kid a house today. You know? And praise the Lord. We signed for that house, and the fellow that was selling it to me, he said, and there's two pieces of land that come with that too. And I'm like, land? He said, oh, yeah, it's farmland. It's right over there. I'm like, well, you know, I don't need land, but thanks, you know, I'll take it. And we signed for it. And praise the Lord. The Lord gave us a place to live and to start working. I remember thinking, Lord, as a missionary and just new with the language and not knowing anybody, how do you get started? I mentioned to you a little bit about the way Latvians are. They're a very close people. I mean, it's Latvians for Latvians, and if you're not in, you're out. And it's either in or out. And we were out, even though I was half Latvian. For some of our relatives, they loved us. They included us in everything. But generally, overall, it was being an outsider. And how do you start? I remember praying, Lord, I have no idea. Help us out there. And I remember saying, Lord, if we'll do this. If someone calls me, I'll preach. And I won't turn it down. So I thought about that. Okay, yeah, if someone calls me, I'll preach. And that relative that was a school teacher talked to her director, and they thought it would be interesting if I would come and tell the kids in school about Christmas, why we celebrate Christmas, because Latvia now became part of the European Union and part of NATO, and they're you know, moving into this new sphere, and they celebrate Christmas, and they don't know why. Come and speak to our kids. And I had the opportunity to go, and I said, I'll go. And she said, if you're here, do you think you could pray with the kids as well? And I remember thinking, well, yeah, I could do that. And all the kids were together in assembly. And they gave me all the time I needed. And I got to share to them that God loves them. That God loves every single one of them. You know, God loves you tonight too. God loves you so much. I got to show them from the Bible that said God loves us, and even though we're sinners. And I explained what that meant. That God is perfect and holy, and we fall short of His standard. Every single one of us falls short of the glory of God. You know, that's something everybody can understand if they're honest with themselves. You know, I may be as good as the next guy, and I may be better than my neighbor, and, well, my siblings, I'm a lot better, right? I'm not talking about my brother. I'm talking about my kids, too. Their attitude. But when you compare yourself with a holy God, who is the standard, you have to admit that we fall short. Because God is holy, and because we're sinners, there's a separation between us. And those kids were able to understand that. And I told them why Jesus came to die on the cross. And, you know, a lot of those kids, they didn't have a Bible and they didn't know much about God's Word, but almost all of them had seen a painting or seen some kind of a sculpture of a man on a cross. And I asked them, do you know who that was? And do you know what was going on with that? Why that is? What that's all about? And a lot of the kids are like, Jesus? And that's about it. And I got to explain to him, because God loved us so much, he didn't want us to stay separated from him. He loves us so much, he wants to have a relationship with us, like a father and a child. And the only way he could do that would be a way to put an end to the problem of sin that we have. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, perfectly sinless, the Son of God. He sent him into this world to live a perfect life, and then he was punished on the cross for my sin, for your sin, and he died. That's why Jesus died on the cross. And I got to tell those kids, that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus Christ being born, coming into this world. And I got to give an invitation to him. I told him, I said, if you just admit to God that you're a sinner, if you'll turn from that sin and accept the forgiveness that God has for you, that he offers every person around this globe, he offers the forgiveness of sin, new life in Christ, a relationship with the Father, he hands it to every man, woman, and child and says, if you put your trust in me, if you trust in me, rely on me, then I'll save you from your sins. I got to give the kids a chance to pray and say, Jesus, come into my heart. And many, many, many of those kids did that. And I praise the Lord for that phone call. And you know, school directors are just like anybody else. Over there, they're mostly women. And they talk to each other. And so one director called another director, and that director called me. And then another director called me. And the Lord opened a wonderful opportunity to go to the schools and to do just what I told you. And I praise the Lord for that. I never looked and never thought I'd have an opportunity to work with young people. It just wasn't something that I thought God would have for me. But he opened that door. There's one school where we have the opportunity to go back every month. They have what's called Svatbrid. If you translate it, it'd be holy moment. And that's when the pastor comes and prays with them. And so every month I have the opportunity to go, and for a long time I would just, you know, I told them, God loves you, Jesus died on the cross, open your heart, and I'd get to pray with them. And I did that for several months, and finally I asked them, I said, how many of you kids have done that, are trusting in Christ? And you know, just about every single one of those kids raised their hand. I said, well, it's time to move on to a new theme about Christian growth, about discipleship. And I get to go back to that school, and you know, when those kids graduate, they receive from the director a diploma. They receive from the director a book about the history of their township. And each kid receives a Bible. And we just thank the Lord for the opportunity that he's given us in the schools. We went to Latvia as church planters, and that's our heart. That's been our prayer. And you know, I learned all about that in school too. And I remember, you know, I was ready to go when I got there. And I printed up some invitations and went around and handed a lot of them out, put an ad in the paper, and rented a room at the university, a classroom, and the first day 40 people showed up. I thought, this is easy. It's simple. I mean, okay, 40 today, next week's going to be 80. Okay, there's 2.3 million people in Latvia. But by compounding, you know, you can get there really quick and then pack it up and come home because, you know, your job's done. And so next Sunday, about 20 people showed up. And I thought, wow. And the Sunday after that, about 14. And then it went down to 12. And then it went down about, 8 or 10. And then 4, 4, 4, 2, 2, 1. And I remember thinking, wow. What's going on? I asked the girl, I said, why do you keep coming? She said, well, I'm going to go to America and make hamburgers, and I want to learn English. And then she did. And I thought, wow, maybe I'm not meant to do this. Maybe this isn't for me. And I remember really praying about it. And I told you, you know, when you think back over different things in your life, that you know God's hand was in it, it's not all smiley faces. And there's some difficult things. And I remember thinking, Lord, I can't do this. And God told me, you're right, you can't. It's not you. You can't do it. And so I prayed a lot more. And folks at home prayed a lot more. And we started again. We didn't give up. We handed out tracts and handed out invitations and rented another space. And two came, and then four, and then six, and eight, and slowly started building up. And the Lord showed me that it's got to be His Word. I remember there's quite a few people, several people, 10, 12 people that had trusted Christ as Savior. And we were meeting every week on Sunday, and they were eager to learn about God's Word. And I was eager to teach them and to plant a church. Well, to plant a church, you need people who have trusted Christ as Savior and have been baptized. And so I started teaching on baptism. And I thought, you know, I'll just teach on baptism and we'll have a baptismal service, right? And I taught them about baptism. And you know, there's an idea in Europe what baptism is. It's Christibus, they call it in Latvian. And Christibus is where you put a little bit of water on the head of a baby. And I showed them in Scripture where, you know, Jesus and John the Baptist together went down into the Jordan, and how the word baptizo, it means dipped. Put under the water and raised back up. And I taught them as carefully as I could from Scripture what baptism was. And their eyes were this big. And they said, "What?" I said, "Well, yeah, baptism, it means to be dipped, to be immersed." And they're like, "You want to do what?" I said, "Baptize. You need to be baptized. We'll have a baptismal service." And they're like, "Oh, no, that's just too weird." They hadn't heard of something like that. And I said, "Well, we'll talk about it more. I appreciate it." They wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't listen to me. And I was starting to get frustrated. I was stuck. I didn't feel we could start a church. I knew we couldn't plant a church unless they were baptized. And I remember flying home. I had something I had to do. And we flew home for just a short period of time. My home church met, and some of the men in the church said, "What can we pray with you about?" And I said, "Well, pray about those folks in Latvia, they'd be baptized." And so we knelt down front row of the church and prayed. And together with those folks at home, I flew back to Latvia and preached a sermon. I don't know what I preached on. I gave an invitation. Kind of at the end of the invitation, I said, "Oh, if there's someone here who'd like to be baptized, just go ahead and raise your hand." And seven of those people raised their hand. They wanted to be baptized. And so they were baptized, and we started a church. And church started to grow a little bit, and we rented one place, and it was great to be there, and we lost that spot. And so another place, we got in there for free, and we thought, "Hey, this is great." But they got tired of us cleaning up on Sundays and stuff like that. I don't know what it was. We lost that spot and went somewhere else. And the guy said, "Well, yeah, you know, a church, kind of strange anyway. You know, if you come in here, I don't know how long it's going to be." And in a few months, we had to leave there again. And the church, we started to realize we needed a building. And I said, "Well, I didn't want to build a building. I didn't want to get into it. But I understood that there was a need for it." I said, if you guys think we need a building, if you want to go the whole road, start praying about it now." I said, "First thing we need is a piece of land. Start praying for it." And they started praying. And they prayed. And they prayed. And they said, "Well, what are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to pray." And they prayed. And they said, "Well, why don't you go down and ask the city for a piece of land?" And I said, "The city's not going to give us a piece of land. Keep praying." And we prayed, and they said, "Well, go down and go ask for a piece of land." I said, "I'm not going to go down and ask for a piece of land." They said, "We'll go with you." And okay, we'll go. And we went down there and met with the mayor, and he said, "Well, the bus is broken today, but the city people transport thing, it'll be back tomorrow. Why don't you come back tomorrow, and we'll drive around and look." And I thought, "What?" And we came back, and he said, "Well, this piece of land hasn't been privatized yet, and this piece of land hasn't been privatized yet, and there's this piece of land by the school that's still available." I said, "By the school?" He said, "Yeah, this one by the school." I said, "We'll take it." And so the Lord prepared a piece of land to build on, and we were all excited. I mean, at this time, things in Latvia were changing. The finances were changing. The country was just starting to wake up and to rebuild from 50 years of oppression. And things were just starting to really take off. And land was expensive. I mean, expensive. But God provided. And I said, "Okay, let's start praying for finances. We've got to build this thing. We've got a piece of land. And we told the mayor we're going to build, but we don't have any money. Let's pray." And so we prayed. And our home church heard about it, and they thought it was a great idea, and they started praying, and I heard that they'd raised $80,000 for that building. And a fellow in the church, he was against it. He said, no, $80,000, that's not right. He said, that's not a round number. And he wrote a check for $20,000. And he said, send him that. Send him 100. And I remember thinking, wow. And so we went and found an architect. And that architect started working, and everything was going, and there was a lot of bureaucracy. And it took a long time to go from let's build to actually having plans in our hand. And so time was going by, and prices were going up and up and up. But that's okay. With that amount of money, we could finish the building. Let's just get the plans. By the time we got the plans, the builder told me, he said, you understand that inflation in the building sector is 45%. And I'm like, oh, well, that's probably something important to know. But I can't stop. We're going to do this. I know the Lord's hand is in this. And so we started to build. And we got to about where you're at with your addition. And that was the end of the money. And I'm thinking, that was expensive. How much more expensive is it going to be? And I tell you, I lost about one night's worth of sleep. And the Lord said, don't worry about it. My hand's in it. And I could look back and see how the Lord's gotten us this far. And so the church started praying, and we started praying, and the folks at home started praying. You know, I learned something from that time praying with those guys, that God listens to the prayers of the folks at home. Missionaries go, they're financially sent, but I believe they're also spiritually sent. I believe that the folks at home and the prayers from the folks at home, God listens to it. And the folks at home were praying. And I didn't know how God was going to do it, but I talked to the builder. I said, you know, everybody's buying and selling land. There were guys who would buy a piece of land, sell it to his brother for a profit. A week later, he'd buy it back from his brother, and his brother made a profit. It was crazy what was going on there. And I asked the builder, I said, do you know anybody that's doing this? He said, yeah, my son is. I said, well, I got a piece of land. Remember that land that came with a house? It's just growing weeds. The weeds are like this high already. Brush growing on it. It's in a floodplain. We'll take it. I said, what? So what? We'll look at it. He said, but we're really interested. I said, well, come look at it. And he looked at it. And he said, I'll tell you what. I won't pay you for it, but I'll trade you. He said, we'll get that building under the roof. We'll get all the windows in. We'll get the doors on. We'll get the cement floor in there. He said, we'll push it along all the way to where you can close it up. And we thought that was a wonderful idea. And the Lord supplied. And we were able to get a real push on it. We still had a lot of different things that we had to raise money for. I remember coming home, we needed to raise money for sewer and water. And boy, that's not easy to raise money for. You know, we have to hook up for the sewer. Can we get any donations? You know, we were like, well, how about a stained glass window? No, we need a sewer. Well, you know, but you know what? Folks at home helped with that. They helped with the furnace, gas furnace. They helped us hooked up to the city gas. Folks that paid for wiring. Folks that paid for building material. There were people all over the country, family members, church members, who said, we want to have a part of that. And with many, many different people, including your church, a lot of different things were able to come together for that church to be built. And this Sunday, today, early, early this morning, back when it was morning in Latvia, they had their first church service there, their first official church service. And we're so thankful that we're able to see God work that way in that church. The Lord's blessed with the opportunity to disciple new believers, to watch them grow. I talked a little bit about spiritual growth this morning, and it's been exciting to see people get saved, and it's been exciting to be able to be there long enough to see them grow. And for missionaries to be able to stay on the field for periods of time, it takes support from their family, from his wife, from the kids, from the parents, from people who send through over the years and through the time to be faithful with sending. And we're thankful that we've had the privilege to be there long enough to see that. We've had the opportunity now to see people in our church grow and become Sunday school teachers. We have our first deacon in the church now. We have people who are coming together. They formed an evangelism group called Revelation, where they go out on anywhere where they can, and they'll go with a creative way to give the message of God's love and salvation. And they'll do mimes, through music, through written things, any way that they can think of, in any opportunity that they see the door open, they're going and do that. They're continuing to train, and as they're training and learning, they're going forward and doing that. Our church has now had just so many wonderful doors open. Somebody walked in and said, "We have hundreds of backpacks stuffed full of material for schools, for kids, for first graders. Their first year in school, they can have these backpacks. Would your church like to have a program for kids from needy homes to receive this backpack?" Yeah, we'll be glad to be a part of that. Well, can they come to your church together with their family and hear the gospel preached? Yeah, we'll do that. And God just sent all those backpacks, and they'll be doing that this year in August. Able to have vacation Bible schools, camps for the kids. The Lord's just given us many opportunities. Our prayer for the future when we go back is to do what you're doing. Pack the building out, grow it spiritually, grow in numbers, and also be able to take the people that are in our church and to be able to take the gospel to other places where there are no churches, and to start to multiply from one church into more churches. And I'm excited about that. Starting one church as an outsider was one thing, but to be able to have Latvians working with you, we're excited about what the Lord may do in that area. So keep that in prayer. Keep the folks in Latvia and the Ozolnieki Baptist Church in prayer as well.
Just want to close with a passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 12 says, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." The Lord's done wonderful things, and we're thankful to him. And we praise him. And I mentioned this morning that working in God's garden is good. It's been an enjoyable thing. And I just want to encourage you, and I was glad to be able to see my kids tonight, to also be able to serve them with singing. And I just want to encourage believers. You know, God still calls missionaries, and there's still a need. And he doesn't call everybody, but those that he does call, he gives them the grace to do it. And he gives opportunities, and he opens doors, and he does make it possible. Even if we look at ourselves and we say, "I don't understand how God could do that," he can do it. And I want to encourage you, whether it's a calling to the mission field or a calling to the mission field in this church in this area, just have an open heart to the Lord and see what he can do. Working in God's garden, it's a wonderful thing. And dear friend, if you don't know Christ as Savior, don't wait any longer. Don't let any more days go by separated from our Heavenly Father. Put your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. He died on the cross for your sins. He loves you. This is the way that God has made for you to come to him. Accept that gift. Let's stand and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the believers here tonight. Father, I thank you for their part, their partnership in the ministry in Latvia. And Father, I pray that you'll continue to meet their needs. Father, I pray that you'll continue to strengthen them, Father, that you'll continue to bless in this church. And Father, I pray that they would feel a heart for the work in Latvia. Father, that they would understand that this work is part of their work as well. And I just pray that you'll knit their hearts to the people and to the lost in that country. And Father, I just pray that our hearts would be open, Father, so that we may find the areas that you would have for us to serve you. Father, help us to hear your voice and your calling. And Lord, if there's one here today that's never trusted you, that today would be the day that they just surrender their will to your Holy Spirit. And they just open their heart to the truth of your word and receive the love and forgiveness that you have for them. And Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.